delighted to be here, even under these trying circumstances. Someone asked me recently, I was talking to a pastor in California, and compared to California and New York and Washington State, how many know we have got it pretty good? Because we're not locked down and there's not a curfew. And I was talking to a pastor yesterday, and he was saying that, you know, the governor has asked for a mandatory curfew lockdown, that no one should be out unless you have to go to the grocery store or to the doctor. And he was walking in his neighborhood in Southern California, and he said, Ken, there's a funny thing happening. There's a helicopter over my head and a plane circling over me. And I said, I think that's surveillance. You better get back home and get in your house, because I think they're following you. But anyway, the point is, it's unusual times. And we were talking, and he said, Ken, what do you think is happening here? I said, well, first of all, I believe God is trying to get our attention. And sometimes the Lord allows certain things to happen to really get our attention. How many know what I'm talking about? How many parents in here, when you're talking to your child and they're distracted, they're on the Facebook or on their tablet, and you almost have to scream at them to get their attention? How many know what I'm talking about? Those who are viewing at home, you understand this. If you go into public, you see people who are just distracted and on their smart devices, hooked up to social media. This is a real issue. And you know, the Lord is doing one thing. He's getting our attention. He's getting our attention. I'm reminded of the words of C.S. Lewis when he talked about, why is there evil in the world? Why does God, if he's so loving, why does he allow pain and suffering in the world? And that's a good question. And here's what he said very astutely. He said, God, when he wants to get our attention, he whispers to us in our pleasures, and he shouts to us in our pain. Sometimes God has got to allow certain things, famines, pestilence, pandemics, people losing their job, situations happen, so he can actually get our attention. And I believe God has gotten our attention. I mean, today, before we came to church, Fox News, a nationally syndicated secular network, was airing a Christian broadcast with Pastor Jensen Franklin to millions and millions of homes around America. That would not have happened if business was going on as usual. So God is getting our attention. And one newscaster that I was watching, and you know, I'm just turning off the news now, because I don't need to see how many more people are sick or dying. In fact, there's nothing good on the news. Only good thing they say is good evening. Then they tell you how many people are sick. And so I'm just kind of saying, okay, I know it's bad. Let me just get about the business of focusing in on God. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. We need to focus in on God. Why does God allow difficulties? Why does the Lord, who obviously loves us, why is he shouting through this thing called the coronavirus? Why is he wanting us to slow down and not have business as usual? In fact, one newscaster I was listening to, he said, we want to curb the epidemic so we can get back to business as usual. In my spirit, I thought, I don't want to get back to business as usual. God, please don't let us go back to business as usual. We need to wake up. We need to not be distracted by power and pleasure and entertainment and all the wonderful technologies that we have in our world. We need to get back to the business of being God's people, God's hands and feet in the earth. Can you say amen? That's what God wants for us. So I don't want business as usual. I don't want the coronavirus to stop and then people just go back to their merry ways. Thank God that we're gonna get to the end of this coronavirus, and we pray for people who are sick, and we don't want people to die, obviously, but we also want to be God's representative, God's church in the earth, and represent his will in the earth. And if you've got your Bible and you're listening by podcast or you're on the live stream here, we're going to be talking about dealing with difficulties. And how many know this is a pretty difficult time? Not only people are sick, they're losing their jobs, loved ones are passing away, and we want to pray and be sensitive to those kind of people. And so we're saying all this to realize that God is sovereign, but he's allowing these things so that he can bring about his ultimate end. But in James chapter 1, verse 2, very familiar scripture, why does God allow us to deal with difficulties, or why should we be dealing with these kind of difficulties? Here's what it says in James. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Pastor Ron mentioned it. We need to be a people of faith. We can't be panicking and fearful. We need to respect the laws, and we need to be have common sense, but we don't need to panic or be in fear. And he says this. He says he allows these trials knowing that the testing of your faith produces something. It produces endurance. Why? Because endurance will have a perfect result, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. So there is a component of faith that we have to have where we say, God, we're going to trust you. We can't trust medicine. We can't trust industry. We can't trust our technology, but we can trust you. You have gotten our attention, and we realize we must seek the God of heaven to get to the end of this tribulation, but we're going to have endurance. We're not going to throw up our hands and just give up. We're going to go forth in faith, knowing that God, you're still on the throne no matter what happens in the earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, very encouraging scripture here. But it's good to know there are other people that have gone through pandemics, that have gone through famine, that have gone through wars, and they have survived even through hardship. But they did it by faith, not by their own human ingenuity. They did it by faith. And that's what God wants us to do in this day and age. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. If you're following at home, it says, for momentary light afflictions is producing in us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. How many know there are things that are happening in the earth that are doing something in our character? It's producing something that wasn't there before. For these momentary light afflictions are producing an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are unseen. Because the things that are seen with our natural eyes, they're temporal. That means subject to change. That they're here for a moment and they're gone. How many know when you go out to eat, or you have an ice cream, or you go by and get a soda or something, and you're hungry or you're thirsty, and in about 15 minutes, that thing that was so intriguing right before you has disappeared. It's gone. Or how many know when you played sports in high school or college or professional, and now you're in middle age, you realize you just look at these photos and say, that was a fleeting moment. It's gone now. It's just a memory. This world, believe it or not, the very material things we can touch, the tangible things we see around us, they are subject to change. They're going to be here one moment. The next minute, they're going to be gone. I remember vividly, I've got two of my children here today. I remember vividly my four children, little kids, sitting around the table, giggling and laughing and playing together. Now they're all grown. It's a moment. It's an instant. It's transformative. It's transitional. It's temporal. And so this whole pandemic we're going through is going to be a moment, but we have to be people of courage and people of faith to get through it. Why? Because it's going to pass. It's temporal. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a spiritual dimension that's all around us that we can't see with our natural eyes, but it's more real than the natural world. In fact, if you want to know the truth, the spiritual realm is more real than the natural realm. This physical realm seems real to us. It's tangible. We can touch it, taste it, smell it. But the real realm is that which is spiritual, which is spiritually appraised. And that's why the apostle is saying that these things are momentary and light. They are afflictions, but there's an eternal weight of glory that outweighs any hardship you and I go through. Amen. And that's what gives me hope in the midst of the coronavirus, in the midst of people being laid off, in the midst of a real economic recession. And believe me, God is able to get our attention when he hits your pocketbook. And he's doing that. Why? Because he wants people to suffer? No. He wants people to put their faith in him and not in their ability to earn money. And we live in a culture that is predicated to wealth and prosperity and things that are temporal. They're going to be gone one day. Somebody else is going to live in your house. Someone else is going to drive your car. Someone else is going to inherit everything you worked so hard to have here. I'm not saying you shouldn't have those things. I'm saying you should not put your trust in those things. Are you hearing me this morning? I hope you are. I pray you are. While we look not at the temporal, but the things which are eternal. And there's an eternal lesson in what we're going through today with this pandemic here in the United States and really around the world. Philippians 1:6 says this, "For I'm confident of this very thing, he who began a good work in you will perfect it in the day of my Lord Jesus Christ." Can I say what? God saved you not just to populate heaven. He saved you to perfect his son, the image of his son, the character of his son in you and in me. Isn't that encouraging? So it's not what we go through. In a lot of cases, it's how we go through it. How are you going through this difficulty? It's easy to be sour and negative when you look at the world, when you look at what's happening. It's easy to be sour and negative when you think, hey, I can't travel here, I can't go to this restaurant. Or how many know March Madness, in the first time in history, has been canceled? I mean, that's pretty sad if you're a sports fan, you know. And so we're all thinking, what are we going to do with this time? Maybe you ought to spend time with your family or read the Bible, you know, instead of watching March Madness. Maybe God did this to get our attention so we would divert these things. But God wants to perfect himself in us, and God uses circumstances, as we're going to see in a minute. Can I tell you something else? All the achievements in God are always guarded with problems. They're always guarded with problems. Every great prophecy that you got, I'm reminded of Paul the Apostle when he was on the road to Damascus and he got knocked off his horse and Jesus himself appeared to him and blinded him and began to talk to him. And all of a sudden, Paul realized, I'm persecuting the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. And I thought I was doing God a service, but I was actually persecuting the very Jewish Messiah that I was looking for. And the Bible says he was blinded for 3 days and three nights, couldn't see. And the Lord spoke to a man named Cornelius and said, I want you to go to Paul, Saul of Tarsus. I want you to tell him I'm going to use him. He's going to be a great instrument of mine in the earth. And Cornelius said, wait a minute. Hey, God, wait a minute. Have you ever argued with God when he's asked you to do something? Like he said, I want you to give this extra money. Don't you know my budget? Can I tell you what? God knows everything that's going on. And when God tells you to do something, he doesn't lack information. Amen. And he's telling Cornelius, I want you to get up, go talk to this man. And Cornelius says, look, God, I don't think I should do it. Don't you realize he's the key persecutor? And here's what the Lord spoke to Cornelius. Go to him and tell him that I'm going to use him. He's going to speak before kings and rulers and proclaim the truth to the Gentiles. That's a pretty good prophecy, isn't it? How many would like to have a prophecy saying God's going to use you, you're going to speak before kings and rulers and before presidents and potentates, and you're going to be a great man, and you're going to be on TV, and you're going to have your own website and podcast, and you think, well, praise God, that's a great prophecy. The second part of the prophecy is yet to come. Then he says to Cornelius, and tell him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. That was also the part of the prophecy. I'm going to bless you, you're going to speak before kings and rulers, and you're going to suffer for my name's sake. Wow. You know, I'm sure Saul, when he heard that, didn't say, look, I didn't sign up for this, God. I like the traveling ministry, but I certainly don't like the persecution. Can I tell you, God uses that to bring about his purposes in the earth. Achievement and God's promotion is always guarded by difficulties and problems. It always is. And God is looking for a people, a prophetic people, to stand up in this day and age and not be fearful, like Pastor Ron said, but be men and women of faith. And I want to encourage you, if you're not here today, sitting in this auditorium, and you're viewing live on Facebook, I want to encourage you, God, by his Spirit, is going to go right into your office, right into your study, right into your living room. He wants to encourage you and take away the fear of the future, the fear of what's going on in the news. cut off the news, get off your tablet, read the Bible, say, God, you're going to perfect this thing you started in me, and there's going to be a great outcome for me. And God, I'm in process. Amen. And if you'll do that, whether you're sitting in this auditorium or you're sitting at home, the Spirit of God right now will touch you and take away fear and put confidence and faith in your heart. And that's my prayer for you. God uses pressure. God uses pressure to make us more like Jesus. God uses pressure. Let me say it again because some of us are kind of tuning out. Wait a minute. I don't want to hear that. God uses pressure. Everyone say pressure. Those at home say pressure. God uses pressure to make us more like, it was hard to hear those at home, but I'm sure they said it. God uses pressure to make us more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit uses truth to produce Christ-like character. How many know sometimes truth is true, but it hurts to hear? It really does. You ever gone to the doctor and you're getting a physical and you step on the scales to get your weight, and then you jump off real quick, think, wait a minute, I don't like what I saw. That can't be true. The scales at Publix say I'm this, and this has me 20 pounds heavier here. You know? So sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes when you look in the mirror in the morning, how many of you know when you look in the mirror, that's a truthful reflection of what you really look like? How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many looked in the mirror this morning before you came? Good. The rest of you should have. Anyway, when you look in the mirror, it gives you a reflection of what's truthfully there. And when we look at God's word and God's truth, sometimes it reflects what needs to change in our life and we don't like it. And that's why God brings truth. I've told this story before, but when I travel, many times I'm traveling on Southwest Airlines. And if I want to sit by myself, I usually open up my Bible and I set it in the seat next to me. And I open it up to Exodus chapter 20, where the Ten Commandments are. And sure enough, when I put it there, it's amazing how many people want to sit there and they see the Bible and they keep walking. Like, that seat's taken, isn't it? There's something about the Word of God. There's something about the truth of God's Word that causes you and I to have to be reflective. That's why people don't read the Bible. You know why? Because it reads them. They don't like the reflection. They don't want to look and see what's really going on in their life. But God uses truth to produce Christ-like character in us. That's why we need people who are mirrors in our life. My wife is a good mirror for me. She loves me, and I love her. We've been married for over 30 years. But she will tell me the truth, and she will exhort me when I don't want to be exhorted. How many husbands know what I'm talking about? Truth sometimes makes you uncomfortable. But God is after truth in this generation. That's why he's allowing some of these things to happen in our culture that we find uncomfortable, because he's pushing truth that, first of all, power, pleasure, money, resources, travel, entertainment, all these things don't satisfy you. Ultimately, what satisfies you is a relationship with God. That's why in the Westminster Confessional, they said this. They said, man's chief end, the reason God made man initially is because God's made man for the chief end to worship God and enjoy him forever. You know what our purpose is? It's not to travel and shop and do all these great things. That's wonderful. That's a side item. But it's to worship God and enjoy him forever. And those sitting in here, we had a beautiful moment of praise and worship with Diana and the team. We have a Scaletown team, but it was anointed. Why? Because we were worshiping God. And that is satisfying when we know the reason we were created was to worship God and to glorify him. And God is going to bring his creation into conformity to the reason he designed them. And he uses truth to do that. All scripture, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable. Say profitable. It's profitable. In other words, it will cause you to increase. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, and training in righteousness. So God wants to train us. We're in training today. Amen. We're training to be righteous like God and equipped for every good work. I love that. I love that. Number two, the Holy Spirit uses people to produce Christ-like character in us. Can I tell you something? People Christians and non-Christians will produce Christ-like character into you. You know why? Because we have to deal with people every day. We have to deal with people that we like. We have to deal with people we don't like. How many know what I'm talking about? And so there are all sorts of people. God uses people to bring his character in us. Ephesians chapter 4, he uses people in the church. Thank God for that. Thank God for pastors and leaders and apostles and prophets and teachers and elders. It says in Ephesians 4, it says he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. What for? For the equipping of the saints. He wants to equip you. If you're a saint, if you love God, then he's going to equip you for what? The work of the ministry. It's not just Pastor Ron's job or Mike's job or my job or Pastor Ben's job to minister. It's our job to equip you to minister. Amen. And those at home, can I say what? God wants you to be a minister. He wants you to minister to your children. He wants you to be the greatest preacher your sons and daughters have ever heard in your own home. And this is a moment to do it. But God uses people to produce God-like, Christ-like character in our lives. And number three, which really hits us real close to home here, God uses circumstances to produce Christ-like character. God uses circumstances. Can I tell you something? We have really spent more family time, and we're family-oriented people, my wife and I. But we've had more time talking and just chatting and having meals together, reading the Bible together during this pandemic crisis. Now, I'm sorry that people are getting sick, and I hate that. But I can tell you one thing. These circumstances are producing something in me. I don't want to miss this moment. I don't want to miss this opportunity to say, God, I don't believe I'm going to get sick, and I'm praying for other people not to get sick. But I know one thing. With all this shutdown, you're wanting us to focus in on you and pray and press in like never before. Some of you are viewing at home. You need to realize this is a moment when you're not at work. You can't run out to go to the gym. You can't run out to go do this or that or go to the movies. God's wanting you and I to press into him. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Why? He wants to change you to be more like his son by these circumstances. It's a hard pill to swallow, but it's a necessary one that we're meant to swallow. The Holy Spirit uses circumstances, and he's using these circumstances. You know, I was listening early this morning, and there was a preacher talking about 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13, where it says, it's a very familiar scripture, where it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear their prayers, and I will heal their land. How many would say we need some healing here in America? How many would say we need some healing in the world with what's going on? That we need the Spirit of God and the Church of God to rise up in power and might and be the hands and feet and the representative of Christ in the earth. God has allowed these circumstances, as dismal as they may be, to conform his church and bring us to a point where we can actually do what God wants us to do. God has allowed circumstances. He allows storms in our life. How many know that storms are not pleasant? How many, if you've been out on a boat or if you've been on the ocean and there's a storm, it is very frightening. We've been in places, we lived in Auckland, New Zealand. We'd go out into the Waitemata Harbor to go over to Waheny Island, which is a little 45-minute boat ride. And can I tell you something? When the winds come up and the rains come there in the South Pacific, it is very, very treacherous and can be very terrifying. And I've been on the boat when that's happened, and it's been very frightening. Can I tell you, storms are not fun most of the time. And the Bible says that God allows storms. In fact, I had someone came up to me, Pastor Ron, and they said, look, Pastor Ken, would you pray for me that I would not have any more storms in my life? I said, well, if I could pray for that, I would pray for myself, that I wouldn't have any more storms. I said, I won't pray that you'll have a storm-free life, but I can pray that you'll have a storm-proof life. So we need to storm-proof our life and realize that God allows storms for reasons. And there's several examples. Jonah, remember the story of Jonah? Jonah was a prophet in Israel, and God told him to go to Assyria and preach to the people. Now, these people were warlike. The Assyrians hated the Jews. They were warlike, barbaric people. And Jonah said, look, God, I don't want to go there. This is not a good mission trip for me. Trust me. They're going to kill me. And Jonah not only disobeyed God, he got in a boat and went the other way from where Assyria was. He tried to run from God. Guess what God did? He brought a storm. Can I tell you what? Some storms are because you're out of God's will, the way Jonah was out of God's will. God will allow storms in your life to get you back in his will. And he sent a giant fish, a great fish, swallowed Jonah, and spewed him out on the shores of Assyria. God will get you where he wants you, one way or the other. But he allowed a storm, because why? Jonah was out of God's will. There's a second type of storm. It's a storm where others are out of God's will, and you're in their midst, and God uses you in the midst of the storm to redirect them. Paul the apostle was a prisoner going to Rome, and when he was on the island of Crete, they set sail, and he warned them, said, don't do this. If you do it, we're going to have great loss. And they did it anyway, and Paul, who was a prisoner, by the end of the journey, was actually conducting the affairs of the ship when he says, if you do what I want you to do, what I tell you to do, God will spare your lives and we'll make it to safety. So Paul was in God's will, but he was with people who were out of God's will. So God used his presence to redirect them in a storm. Some of you are in God's will. God's wanting to redirect others that are in your company to get in God's will. So God will use storms. So don't just say, God, why is this happening to me? Say, God, there's a reason why this is happening to me. What's my part to play? And number three, the disciples got into a storm because they were actually in the will of God. You remember the story in the Gospels where Jesus said, let's get in the boat. Let's go over to the other side to preach, to a place called Gadarin. And they got in the boat, and Jesus fell asleep in the stern of the ship, and a great storm came, and the disciples were so afraid. Now, these men were fishermen. They knew how to handle a boat. They knew how to fish in the Sea of Galilee. They understood that storms were there, but this storm was so violent, they were afraid. They went to Jesus and woke him up in the stern of the ship and said, we are so afraid. Don't you care? We're about to perish. And what did Jesus do? He got up and he said, hush, be still, and quieted the storm. The disciples were in the storm because they were not out of the will of God. Others weren't out of the will of God. They were in the perfect will of God. But were they trusting the maker and the stopper of the storm, who is Jesus himself? Look, can I tell you what? The storm we're going through, God Almighty has allowed it, and he can also stop it. Our trust, as much as we can look at technology and medicine, is wonderful. But my trust, ladies and gentlemen, your trust should be in the one who can stop the storm. His name is God Almighty. So three types of storms. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, for momentary light afflictions. This may seem big and it may seem gargantuan to us in our estimation, but it says momentary and light afflictions are producing in us. Producing in me. Say that, producing in me. So it's not what happens to me, it's my response to what's happening to me that counts. Why is God allowing me to go through this storm? Why is God allowing our nation to go through this storm? My prayer is we won't go back to business as usual. My prayer is we'll say, God, we'll fall on our knees and say, God, why have you allowed this to happen to us? Why are hundreds of thousands and millions of people being sick and some are going to die? Why have you allowed this to happen? You want to get our attention. Why do you want my attention? You want things to change. I want to be a part of that change. I want you to know something. As a Christian, you're going to expect four type of things in your life. You're going to expect trials designed by God to draw us closer to him. Number two, you can expect temptations designed by the devil to draw us away from God. How many here have ever been tempted? How many here were tempted not to come to church? How many were tempted not to watch this podcast, to watch last year's Super Bowl rerun and watch it again, or the NBA Finals, you know, that you've already seen the outcome 20 times? We are all tempted. Why? The devil will use temptation to draw us away from the will of God and to destroy our character. Number three, trespasses. Trespasses hurt others and cause us to sin against others. These are the four T's that will come to you and I during storms and tribulation. And number four, troubles. Usually the consequences of our own sinful choices. How many here have ever made choices that you wish you had never made? I've got both hands and feet raised. Those at home, I'm sure you can identify. We've all made dumb decisions with our finances, with buying things or going places. And they have brought us trouble. They've brought us difficulty. And sometimes they were motivated out of selfishness and sinful choices. So during this time, God is using trials, temptations, trespasses, and troubles to bring us into conformity so we can be what he wants us to be in this hour. That's light and salt in the earth. Now, it's interesting. The coronavirus doesn't do well in light. It actually, intense sunlight destroys and kills the virus. The other thing that kills the virus is salt, saline solution, and chlorine. It's interesting how God's antidote to the problems and the pandemic of sin and troubles in our world is light and salt. I think the application is not just ironic. I think it's amazing that God uses those things. And we need to be light and salt. That doesn't mean we go out and do something foolish. We want to abide by the civil authorities and we want to be smart. But we also want to be people who are full of faith and understand that God is greater than what we're going through. Amen. I hope this is encouraging you. I hope this is making you feel that, hey, wait a minute, it looks bad, and the medical authorities, the CDC, they don't have the answers, but bless God, my God in heaven has the answer, and that's the one I'm trusting in. I want to finish off by just reading the scripture here. 1 Peter chapter 4. I sent this out on a tweet last night, and I had more responses than anything I've ever sent because it was really speaking to people in their fear and where they're at in their circumstances. It says, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you." This was written 2,000 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. "Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you for your testing as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share in the suffering of Christ, keep on rejoicing, that also after the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exaltation." What's he saying? He's saying, don't be surprised, my beloved. Don't be surprised, people of God, at these fiery ordeals that come upon you as if some strange thing is happening. Everybody's going through it, but it's going to have its perfect result. And that's where 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, just one chapter over, comes in. It says this, "But after you've suffered for a little while, after you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you by his eternal glory, will himself perfect, comfort, strengthen, and establish you." Let me say that again. The God who called you after you've suffered just for a little while. How long is a little while? I'm not sure. But it's a little while. That same God who allowed these circumstances in your life, he himself will comfort, strengthen, confirm, and establish you. And I want you to know something. We are in the safest place we could be, in God's presence and in God's will. And whatever comes to us, we're gonna face it by faith and not by fear. We're gonna be a people of conviction and not a people who panic. Amen. And I want to encourage you. The Spirit of God is wanting us to stand up and be the church. I love what you guys are doing here by taking the food bank out to people and being the light and salt here in Tallahassee. And that's what we need to do across the state of Florida and across the nation. And my prayer is that things will not get back to normal, but things will get back to stability so we can be what God has called us to be initially, his light and his salt in the earth and being that church. Amen. Well, thank you for viewing with us. We want to pray now, and I want to just pray for you right as you're sitting in your home, your living room, your den, wherever you're viewing this podcast or this live stream, we want to pray together. So if those in the auditorium, would you stand with me as we pray? Father, we thank you so much for your word. I thank you, God, that difficulties come, and your word gives us the reasons and the ways we can deal with these difficulties. So, Father, I thank you that we're not going to be surprised that or think something's odd, amazed at these fiery ordeals that are among us, but, Lord, we're going to be a people who trust you. We're going to be a people that know that you've allowed these storms, you've allowed these circumstances for a reason. And Father, even though we don't fully understand the reasons, Father, we know that you're wanting to do something in the earth that would glorify your name and touch people where they're really at. So, Father, we pray for everyone who's present in the auditorium here on this Sunday morning. We pray for everyone who's viewing via the live stream on Facebook and those who are listening to my voice on podcast. Lord, I pray the Spirit of God and the Spirit of encouragement would go to them right now. That, Father, fear and panic would not be a part of their thoughts. But, Lord, they would say, we're trusting in God. That after we've gone through a little bit, you yourself will strengthen, confirm, and establish us yourself, God, in your purposes. So, Father, we thank you for that. We resist the fear of the moment. We resist the negativity that we see on the media. And, Lord, we say we have faith in you. And we trust you in this hour. And, Lord, I thank you for your spirit to go out to those who have been stricken by this coronavirus and people who've lost loved ones. Lord, our heart and sympathy goes out to them. But, Father, we pray that in the midst of this, you would strengthen them by your power. That, Lord, fear would give way to hope. And hope would have its perfect result, knowing that, Lord, you're going to rescue and you have a purpose for them. So, Father, we give you praise and we give you glory. We thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. I think we're going to end with